Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
Hey, welcome back. It's good to be here for the final hour. We have another guest talking about Tennessee. All things Tennessee. It's been an interesting program the last couple of hours. The NCAA has come out with some guidelines on boosters paying money to and involving NIL. So that's a story that I'm sure everyone in college athletics is taking very seriously. We just had Legend call in a minute ago. He took some shots at Jim.
Jim, yeah, Paul. I'm gonna reply. I'm gonna comment and reply to that.
Okay.
You know, there's something happened to that guy. I really believe he's gone insane. Now I don't know what caused it. Let me give you an example of how he was before he did what he did with me about that, attacking me about that lady. You know, that attacked you, Kay. He jumped on me for that, like, you know, because she was trashing me. I had a right, in my opinion, to say something back to her, and he went crazy over that. I think he lost his damn mind. He's talking insane. People are telling me, all right, woo, what is that? I mean, that sounds like something worse than Matt would do. And Matt's about a five-year-old in brain power. But this guy is a thug. He's a total thug. He's your house thug. You wouldn't believe how many people are telling me that. And they know that, Paul. Here's the thing, though. I want to tell you what he said to me privately about 2 months ago. You're the best on the show. I love you. I mean, you inspire me. I wish you'd call more. You get it done. You always have. That's what he tells me. That's what he told me all over a year or two. He told me that. He said, you inspire me to be better. That's where your crazy man was telling me up to 2 months ago. And then all of a sudden, I think he just got totally jealous. I don't know what happened to him. He got some bad tea. What could be possibly wrong with that guy?
Well, I don't know. I mean, you're putting me in a difficult position.
Well, I mean, I'm telling you what, nothing happened between me and him except when he jumped on me. I tell you what I think happened.
Okay.
I think you can go back to this. Let's go back to this. You remember the day about a month and a half ago, might have been 2 months ago, when he called and talked about worshiping Nick Saban?
Yes.
And Paul, you called him out.
Right.
You gave him a sermon that day. I thought I was so proud of you. And then I called in and said, exactly right, Paul. I just acknowledged what you said and said you were right. That guy lost it. He's out of his mind to talk about worshiping a coach above Almighty God. That's what made him mad, I really believe. You remember that?
I do remember that, yes.
And the guy has a psychopath mind, and when he went off, his mind is staying off in insanity. I firmly believe that. He couldn't stand to hear the truth about that, and he deserved what you and I both. You started it by telling him what you told him that day. You remember that?
Yeah, no, I thought, and you know, it's one thing to joke about something, but I didn't get the impression he was joking that day.
He wasn't joking. He meant exactly what he said. I worship Nick Saban. He has lost his mind about Alabama football. Woo, woo! That's crazy, Paul. That guy is crazy. He's bona fide crazy. And I've been around some crazy people. I ain't crazy, Paul. I think you know that. That guy is a nut job. He's a thug, but he's also a nut job. He really is. And it'll show up in the wash. It always does. But I just want to remind you of what you agree with me. And I know that made him furious. That, in fact, after that, that's when he said he's going to jap slap you. He's going to pimp slap you. You know, and then about a week later, he changed his tune because he knew that would give him heat on the show with you. So he crawled back under the rug and come out, you know, talking about how he loves you. The guy's a phony, a fake, and a thug, Paul. bona fide, no doubt about it. I know my stuff, man. I got my finger on that pulse.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate your insight.
Yeah, well, you know that. You know it. All right, thank you.
Okay, we'll talk soon. Thank you very much. Augie is up next in New Orleans.
Wow, a couple of things before that, Paul. Wasn't it nice for Jeff to give us his ancestry DNA results on Friday? He's got some SEC genes hidden in the wood pen somewhere. But you did an artful job, or you tried to do an artful job earlier today in the conversation when Jim was talking about a three-way with Jeff. And you tried to steer it away from the use of the word three-way.
Yeah, I did.
But then Jim blew it by saying something to the effect, I came in strong from behind him. And I'm like, oh, my God. Is this getting any more R-rated than it already has been? And then you got Hugh talking about studs. So, Paul, your show today, if somebody wasn't really paying attention and they were hearing it, you know, between paying attention to something on the computer, they probably thought you're going off the deep end.
Well, as you know, Augie, there's always a third rail or a third ring of this show that is only...
You were in it today.
Yeah, it's the average viewer does not get that third ring.
Well, that third ring was highly active today. But, Paul, Jim's last call, for example, Jim pointed out something that is a risk for callers. And I'm sure over the years you've seen this happen, where callers start developing alliances.
Yes.
And they start confiding with each other either through phone calls or through Twitter messaging, and they start telling their deep, dark secrets. And the risk they run is that today's ally may be tomorrow's enemy.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you've seen that over the years. Is there any advice you'd like to give new callers about going down that slippery slope?
I want everyone to feel comfortable talking to their brethren or sister. And I could make up a word there. I just think that there should be some privilege, should there not, Augie, when you're talking to a fellow Feinbaum caller, shouldn't there be some protection?
Well, I mean, you have your
limited privilege
client. Well, you have your lawyer client privilege.
Right.
You have your priest penitent privilege.
Right.
Maybe you should have your Feinbaum caller interaction privilege, so that anything that you use against them on the air. Because Jim laid out some very private stuff that
very incriminating, too.
Yeah, so I don't know if Legion feels like he's been betrayed. He probably doesn't care. What do you think?
I don't think he cares. Now the question is it exculpatory?
Well... I don't know if there's any information. Well, I don't know. I think even Squirrel had some connection or some conversation with Jim, and some of that stuff was made public. So yeah. I just put a caution out there that if you talk to somebody else outside of the show's main ring and you get into that third ring, that stuff could come back to bite you. And as for Matt, Paul, I take offense to all the insults. Matt's one of my favorite callers. Love Matt. Need to hear more from Matt. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it's been a rough day on the show. Let's talk to Trey next. Hey, Trey, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. At least Legend worships something worth worshiping, because all Jim worships is himself. So at least Legend has something to worship. But, Paul, did he not say the other day that God told him to quit speaking about sports? Is that what I heard?
He said that, yes.
So if God told him to quit speaking about sports and start talking about and putting other people down, because that's all I hear. So that's kind of crazy to me. But, Paul, I want to talk about Alabama and Georgia.
Trey, let me say this, what may sound crazy to you, I mean, if that's what the man said he heard, I mean, who are we to say that it didn't happen?
I don't think that's my big dispute. It's his actions towards others, the way he is towards mm-hmm. others. So I can't talk about sports, but I can talk about others.
And we have a guest waiting, but we want to make sure everyone is heard from on this troika. Is that the word I was meant to say? Legend is back.
Yeah, I just heard that moron talking. Let's set the record straight. He called me 80 times a day, and all this calls was about hating you. And you know when I came on here and slapped your ears and told you I'd make you fly to California and back, that it was because he was telling me that you was on the air talking about me to them morons in Boston cutting me down. Now, you know that's the friggin' truth. And as far as what he told me on the telephone and what I told me he was Pete Rose, Paul. Bada, 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 swing, moron, you psycho.
Okay, we are going to leave it there because we do have a guest on deck. Ramon Foster is right around the corner.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
SEC Now, live from the women's softball tournament, Tuesday through Thursday. You can check it out right here. Ramon Foster joining us, the former Vol, who now is part of the Zone in Nashville. We have had many conversations with Ramon over the years. Great to have you back on the show, Ramon. What's going on?
Not much. I appreciate you having me again. All is well.
Well, let's talk about the excitement about the Josh Heupel and the Tennessee Vols. The predictions are starting to trickle in for the upcoming season. You're seeing a lot of conversation about Hendon Hooker. He's not the only player on this team that's getting preseason run. Give us your view a couple of months before the season begins.
I think early on when he first got hired, everybody was hesitant, which is a good thing. I think over in the past year since Tennessee hired a new head coach, everybody was full of excitement and hope, and you knew who the guys was. And I think part of what Heupel has had here is the fan base has kind of allowed him to prove himself to us and his offense and working in the SEC. Now, he's done everything he said he's going to do. He's changed the players' mindsets in-house. As you guys know, a mindset it means a whole lot when it comes down to playing the game and the work in and out of it every single day and every single week when it comes to winning it. The offense worked in the SEC, and he's done a really good job so far. Also, hitting the recruiting trail, they ended up getting a 5-star quarterback, I think he's number 5 and number 3 overall rated player coming in next year for class of 2023. Sent some players to the NFL this league, and I think more than anything, he still has held an emphasis on what it means to play in the SEC as far as recruiting offensive linemen, having a run game that was very efficient this year also. And honestly, I feel like as many turnovers we've had at Tennessee as far as head coaches go, we've seen him actually come in and create some stability since Fulmer has left. Honestly, if Fulmer was let go.
I'm interested in that because Fulmer, of course, the legendary head coach, and then he became the athletic director. What do you think his departure has meant? Can you elaborate on that?
I think it took away a familiar face. I think it took away a sense of stability that we had. One of the main reasons I committed to the University of Tennessee is because I knew my coaches were going to be there. And when you have guys that are outside of the program that are honestly trying to prove themselves and also follow up a legendary coach as Fulmer was, you say what you want to, national championship coach, he won big-time games in the SEC, and that was a hard, you know, spot to fill as far as his job goes. And it's been a turnover ever since. Expectations getting back to winning games, winning the big games, not just winning games, but we got the gauntlet every single year with Georgia, Florida, and Alabama. And, you know, the fan base gets very impatient when you can't win two of the three of those games or at least get one. And that's been very few and far between. And that's one thing that Fulmer always did. And he also, you know, did a really good job along the recruiting trail, too. And none of the coaches did that consistently. It was always the one-year shot or, you know, you get a good phase and then they fizzle off really quick. And it seems to me that Heupel is far enough removed from Fulmer to where the guy before him and Jeremy Pruitt to where – I think the hard reset was necessary, and all the players I've talked to going up on the campus in the springtime and during the games, you hear the certain things come out. One, the kids are having fun and enjoying the experience of playing under Coach Heupel. But now they have stability to where you know what you're getting from your coaching. I'm sure, Paul, you've heard some of the same things I've heard about past coaches when, you know, dealing with student athletes to where it became a job and not necessarily, you know, a game that they were playing to try and advance to the next level. And I feel like that's what Heupel has done, a really good job of coming in, you know, years removed from what from the way former had it laid out.
Ramon, let's talk about where we are right now in intercollegiate athletics. And you know, it's a topic that cannot be avoided, you know, whether these collectives you know, are going to do the trick, you know, the whole NIL transfer portal conversation. You certainly understand, you know, what's going on now. How does Tennessee capitalize on this moment in time?
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
If they're smart, they get ahead of it. And I think they've done a good job. I think there's a Aspire Collective group here that's, you know, kind of spearheaded this entire process of, you know, using NIL the correct way. And, you know, I ended up having some conversation with some people that was, you know, around that group. And they were just saying all of that's fine and dandy as far as the NIL goes. But the coaches also still have to do their jobs. The coaches also have to let the kids know that they still care about them. And it's not necessarily a transaction of funds. You have to be able to have relationships. You have to be able to show them that you're coming there to win, and you still have their best interest in mind. When I committed in 2003 and played in 2004, it was all about my relationship with the coaches and how, you know, it was a part of – they were part of me, and they assured my parents that I was going to be there and they were going to take care of me, and they did. Nowadays, it's pretty much you get into a contract basis when it comes down to these kids, and we're seeing right now with the Addison kid coming out of Pitt as far as, you know, coaches being able to – under the table recruit a kid or lure them because of NIL deals. And the kids got to watch themselves too, because just because the team is winning or just because the team is hot and want to give you the most money doesn't mean it's necessarily the best fit for you. And that's what I hope is going to happen with these kids moving forward. I'll say this, I am in full agreement with NIL and what it means to these kids, because I was in a position when I was in college around 2005, 2006, where we didn't make a bowl game and I had no money to make it home. I had to stay on campus while nobody else was there because I didn't simply have an extra $200 to make it home for the holidays. Now, I know that may seem like chump change before a college kid that's not afforded to be able to work a job, not afforded to actually receive any type of benefits, having an extra, I don't care if it's $50, $500 a month for some of these kids, it can go a very long way. But again, I can't stress enough the fact that in this age of NIL, money management has to be on top of it. And also, what can the school actually do for you? Those two things have to be in the forefront of all parents that are receiving these deals, because in the NFL, if you perform bad, you're either going to get cut or you find your way out. We're seeing that a whole lot more often now. With these kids, you're just going to continue to jump from one school to the next and not necessarily have tape at one particular school to show that you can ball out. So I hope it's not on the basis of saying, yes, they're just giving me this money. It needs to be relationships. and it still needs to be development on campus, and that has to resonate also through the coaches.
Ramon, finally, as somebody who's played not only college ball but in the NFL, and these young kids are impressionable, especially when somebody like you is speaking. What would you say to them? Because it's hard at that age. You just described your own personal experiences, you know, what a couple hundred dollars would have meant. But it's you know, if you're at one school and somebody is saying, hey, come play for me, and here's a pot of gold, how do you turn that down?
It would be hard. And considering, you know, where a lot of these kids are coming from, and they can honestly change their family's lifestyle by receiving one of those checks or one of those deals or a job now that you can legally do, I would tell them, again, what's your end goal? Because at the end of the day, we're seeing guys now receive, wide receivers receive $25 million, $28 million a year on average. So if you're going to a school because they're giving you a big check now, what can that offense, if you're an offensive player, or what can that defensive coach do for you to actually get you to the next level? I think one of the best cases of it all is Kyler Murray. You know, he was a first-round quarterback and baseball player, and he said, I will play football because I can capitalize the most out of that. That's the decision that these kids are going to be faced with, even on a amateur level almost at this point. Is it's fine receiving it right now, but what can you actually get on the back end? And I bring up Kyler Murray because he's in a position where he made the right decision for him, getting to the right team, right offense, to where he's going to be potentially now a $40 million a year guy if they decide to give him a deal like that. So the money is fine, and I'm all for it. And there's going to be some mistakes made when it comes down to making those types of decisions. But if your end game is to get to the NFL and be the top 1% of all players in the world, then also make it on the basis of what that team or those coaches' relationships can do for you, too. That's what I would tell a kid nowadays.
Great stuff, as always. Ramon Foster, the former Tennessee Vol, now, of course, in radio in Nashville. We really appreciate it. We're heading to a break. More to come. More of your phone calls right here at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are back, and I know it will be sad when you learn that there's only 25 minutes remaining in this show. But we're not done yet. I-Man is up next.
Good afternoon, Paul. How's it going?
Hey there.
You know, I hate that I got to hear a little bit of Kubiak's responses there on Friday. And I hate I didn't get to speak to him. Kubiak's a pretty cool guy. And I've talked to him several times off the air because sometimes different people answer the phones there. And you know, he's always been a real warm guy to me. But I do understand this. There's a lot of creative people that work in that particular building that you're in. And not everybody is 100% sold on this show with callers. Not everybody is sold on this show with it just being ESPN cookie-cutter guests all day. Because you bring a lot of creativity to the format. Your callers bring some. And Mark, he's an ESPN guy. He's a producer. He's a director. He's purely excellent at what he does. So there was a lot of give and take. But I really appreciated the compliment that he gave me Friday when he said he was kind of sitting there listening, and you were doing autographs, and it was an I-Man call. It wasn't a Jim call. It wasn't a legend. It wasn't a K-Dub. It wasn't a Handsome Joe. It wasn't a Mitch. It wasn't anybody. It was an I-Man call. He said it sparked his interest and said, you know, I can probably hang with this for a little bit. Because once you kind of start putting the pieces together, you either like this show or you hate it. As simple as that. But it appears that a lot of people love this program, and I would think that starts with the SEC commissioner, the archbishop, and you know, all these politicians all over the world, musicians, and so we're not alone out here, you know, with this program. But I appreciate all the efforts that Cube's put into the program and the staff you have now, and I would hope that maybe that moved a couple guys up a notch, and maybe you're paying a little bit better up there for some of these guys, Paul?
Well, I mean, I really, in full disclosure, have no idea what anybody makes.
How did I know that you were going to say that?
Well, here's why, and I'll say this and be quiet. I'm just a worker. He's
just another employee.
I am not an executive here. I am not included. Now, they may get around to me and asking my opinion, but I don't set the salaries. I don't do anything other than I punch a clock every day for 4 hours. I'm essentially a part-time employee.
I was going to say you probably have your peanut butter and jelly and a bologna sandwich and a banana, but
benefits.
I know you don't eat
They gave
you
me an ESPN t-shirt and a keychain the first day, and I don't think I've seen anybody from ESPN since.
And you know what? Everybody thought you was crazy when you showed up. What's he doing with that head of lettuce, putting it in the refrigerator? They didn't know that was your lunch for the next 2 weeks.
It was. It was a head of lettuce with a little kale on the side.
With a little kale on the side, just for color. And some parsley over there, too, just in case, just to make the plate balance. You know, Paul, I was listening to Jim's call, and Jim couldn't be more wrong. I mean, the last one when he was talking about what happened to Legend and how he's sick and all that. No, that's not the case. And Legend is not scared of Paul, although he stepped on your toes and he's come back and apologized. And Legend does go over the top some, but he always comes back through to you. But no, I mean, anybody, and I told y'all this, what, 6-8 years ago, when you get a phone call from Jim 4 or 5 times a day, and Legend exaggerated, it's not 80, but it's probably after 4 or 5 Jim phone calls a day, somebody say something good about me. Say something good about me. I mean, day and night.
Are you serious? Because you're saying that he would call people and ask him to do that?
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
He called me 4 or 5 times a day, every day when the show was on, sometimes on the weekend. And, you know, I told you he called and left messages at night and told me how you didn't like me and all those kind of things. Well, that's who Jim is. And once you say that was a great call, Jim's your buddy. And then he wants to talk to you, and it's always, say something good about me. I'm not good as you. I'm not quick as you. I'm not fast as you. But you're great. And Squirrel got sick of it, and Legend got sick of it, and I had told you a couple months ago that Legend and I had been kind of off communicating for 6 or 8 months. I mean, we weren't talking, but there'd be a message here and a message there, maybe about every 2-3 weeks, a month apart, and he had expressed a desire that he was sick of Jim, because he was having to, Jim was constantly calling him. That's why Legend flipped. Now, did Legend use the K-call to launch that in? Because now I've got a reason, other than looking like I'm beating up on this sickly little fella over here that stays in the way. But when Jim said he knows what crazy is, Paul, you better take that to the bank, because Jim knows crazy. Jim's lived crazy and around crazy and a bunch of juicy fruit gum eaters all his damn life. Now you take that to the bank, and I would be totally remiss if I didn't mention the little feller up in Columbus. He called in and he's talking about price of wood and how, you know, he was bracing us for the prices. That's BS. He was complaining because he couldn't get an appliance. Now who does that jackass up there, Jeff, think he is? That we don't have TV, we don't have economical structured people, we don't have some kind of voice. See, that's what's wrong with guys like him. The South is every bit, and right now the South is dominating in jobs and in car industries. I mean, we got people that cut trees and build houses. I mean, there's a lot of people down here that would stake their reputations up against anything Jeff could bring to the table. Now, you can take that to the bank, too. And you know, as far as him being a Jim Rome caller, Daryl is Jim Rome caller to set standards on this show. Now, rack Daryl, not Jeff. Have a good day.
So, Joe, you're not the reason Mark Kubiak paid attention to the show. He was I-Man. I guess you just heard that.
Roll, die, roll, ball, bomb, bomb.
Yeah, Paul, I heard you, Joe. Roll Tide, roll.
I got something I got to say. I got something I got to say. I've had a rough weekend, but first I want to say that I-Man, he is a rock star. I like I-Man. He just supports his team, Paul, but I've had a kind of, you know, bad weekend. My daughter-in-law lost her stepdad, and my aunt died this morning. And I mean, she was married to my uncle, but, you know, I consider her my aunt. And so it's a... And she was special, Paul. So it's a.
Well, Joe, let me say this. I am really sorry to hear that news, and I think a lot of your friends here on the program obviously share that thought, and we certainly hope that you'll have some better days ahead and your family.
Right. Well, just keep my daughter-in-law and my family in your prayers, because it's not easy, Paul, especially when they're a good person. It's always tough, but you know, but I'll change off from right there. But I got to agree with I-Man that this little feller up in Columbus, Ohio, he can go suck a rotten turnip, Paul. I mean, you can have problems, but you can still, you know, be real. And I'm not lying when I say he can suck a rotten turnip, because I don't care about Jeff. I don't care if he gets the plant. I don't care if he gets a washing machine. He can wear dirty drawers for all I care. I don't care about that little feller, and he needs to worry about Ohio State and the Big Ten and just leave the SEC alone, because all he's trying to do is just trying to – he can't rattle us, Paul, because we're the best. SEC is the best. It just means more. So, you know, I'm just going to leave it there. But, Paul, I'm sorry I'm getting in late, but it's been a long day for me. And, you know, I got a funeral to get ready for day after tomorrow. And it just – hey, just – Keep my family in your prayers, Paul. Just if you don't mind, and all the listeners, just you know, but except for Jeff, because his prayers ain't gonna reach past his ceiling, you know. So, but anyway, Paul, love you, brother, and roll tide.
Thank you very, very much. We appreciate that, and all the best to your family. Bubba is in North Carolina. Hello, Bubba.
What's shaking, Paul? Fine, bomb.
Bubba.
You got Legend fired up, son. How in the world did Jim's name end up on this trophy?
Because the person that came up with the trophy chose to. And by the way, I want to say this, and I didn't want to say it the other day, but that trophy that was handed out the other day, and guys in the back room, yeah, check me on this, that is not an officially licensed Feinbaum Show trophy.
Oh, I got you. I got you.
So it's entirely possible that we will not sanction that trophy.
Hey, I'm convinced, though, that you would start a fist fight at Tent Revival just to sit back and laugh and watch it.
Yeah, that's possibly right. Yeah, you're right about that.
Hey, question. One quick question for you.
Shoot.
University of Georgia, when did they win the national championship? And was it 81?
They won for the 1980 season.
Yeah. And it was played in January of 81.
It was played January 1st in the Sugar Bowl.
I got you. Question for you. Do you think if Herschel hadn't gone to the New Jersey Generals, if they'd have won another one?
Yes, absolutely. Because
I do, too. I've had a lot of people argue
the
83 that.
The team... They upset Texas in the Cotton Bowl. I can't remember much else about it, but yeah, I mean, Herschel was the best player in the country by far.
Herschel's one of the best football players to ever play football. He's one of the few football players that I've seen over the years that literally could impose his will on the other team, whether his other 10 guys did or not.
Yeah,
and,
no,
and win
I've
a football
always said
game.
I thought he was the best. He was, again, my life doesn't include a lot of players in the past, but. He's the best player I've ever seen in person.
Yeah, he was awesome, hands down.
Well, thank you very much. his campaign. Appreciate you saying that. We will take a break. More to come. You want to get in? You can still do so. 855-242-7285. We've had a lot of guests. They just quit showing up here about 10 minutes ago, and now we're into the Family Feud portion of the show.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.
Pat, up next here, late, and I mean late, on a Monday afternoon.
Hey, Paul, is this me?
Hey, Pat.
Hey, I wanted to tell you, I was put in Twitter jail yesterday.
Oh, no. How does that happen?
Well, I tweeted something to your program on Friday that someone found offensive, but it's someone who doesn't have access to my regular tweets, and so in a roundabout way they found it yesterday, and then they reported it to Twitter as offensive. Ooh. So I was kind of in jail for 16 hours. I won't name any names, but I think I know who it was, but my tweet concerned Jim and the Lord and sacrilege.
So you're suggesting that Jim had some pull with Elon Musk and got you thrown in jail.
No, if he did have pull with Elon Musk would never have censored me. No. But it was a little disconcerting, quite frankly, for me to tweet your program. Your guys in the control room know what my tweets say. No. There was nothing offensive in there to anyone but a couple of people.
Well, Pat, I'm really glad you're out of jail. I hope you had a good bail bondsman.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Anyway, I just want you to know that. Thanks, Paul. I still love your program, and I'm going to continue to tweet and listen.
Thank you very much. Larry, who's probably been in some real jails before, not Twitter jail. Larry, you're on the air.
Hey, my man, what's up, Paul?
Hey there.
I was going to say something about Mark, man. I hate he's leaving, man. It was a lot of fun. I know the people that probably never saw some of the things that we was having fun watching was when he did the hanging fruit and all that.
Yeah, the low-hanging fruit.
I don't think he was too happy with that. But, I won't miss him. But why do you keep running everybody off, man? I don't understand. You're worse than Saban.
There's only two people that have left the show, just the original two guys that were producing the show. No big deal. I think that's pretty remarkable, though, Larry, that he's been here for 8 years.
Has he really been that long?
Yes.
Damn, you know, when you get drunk, time flies, you know?
Yeah, I mean, nowadays, you stay in a job 8 years, that's a lifetime.
Hey, hell yeah. And for me, hey, man, I'm going to tell you, you got to find who's going to take his place, man. You got one?
I think we're in pretty good shape with the two that are still here. I hope both of them stay.
Put them on this.
What's that?
Show them in the booth.
Can we turn the cameras on those guys or not? I don't know if we're...
Yeah.
Yeah, no, the camera's not working. We sent it to the shop.
Probably. John, probably.
2.5 years.
Can
you explain to me why? Well, is that a supply issue?
Yeah.
Why that camera's not working?
It's COVID.
We will. We should have listened to Jeff at the beginning of COVID and bought some extra cameras.
Yep.
Nick is up next in Florida. Hello, Nick.
Hi, Paul. Thank you for taking my call. My daughter's 12th birthday is tomorrow, and she wanted to say something to you, and I was hoping you would be so kind to wish her a happy birthday.
What's her name?
Her name is Alexandra, but she goes by Sasha.
Sasha, okay.
Hi, Paul.
Sasha.
I'm an Alabama fan, and I know you are too, so roll tide. I know Alabama's going to win this national championship, and George got no chance.
Sasha, tell us about what are you planning for your birthday?
I think I'm planning for just a nice stay at home birthday party, and my dad's gonna make his famous pasta sauce.
Oh wow!
That I'm very excited about because he's very good at it. And, Sasha, yeah, I'm going to have some cheesecake.
You have a great birthday, and I know, I think you're, I agree with your prediction about Alabama, by the way.
Thank you, Paul.
Well, bye. Sasha, really bye. A pleasure to hear from you. Thanks so much. Happy birthday. 12th birthday, that was a fun birthday. It really was a cool one. It gets a little bit shaky after that. G is in Atlanta. Hello, G.
Hey, Paul. How you doing, man?
We are doing
hey,
great.
Hey, look here. I was listening earlier. You had a couple of guys on there was talking about the South Carolina. Was the first one said South Carolina was going to beat Georgia in
yeah,
the third week?
Michael Bratton said that.
Michael Bratton. Yeah, he must have been hanging around Cat Daddy and drinking some of that stash Cat Daddy got. And the other guy that said the First Amendment, you know, he's asking and everything, and he needs to drink some of that stuff that Cat Daddy has.
Yeah, and by the way, I mean, that guy, I apologize. I mean, he's called before. He snuck in here, and, I mean, we are long past
and,
that
and,
conversation.
And one more, and Paul, I have one more question for you. I was listening to, I don't know if you had him on your show or not, but he's a commentator. I think he's with CBS, Aaron Taylor. Are you familiar
I know
with him?
He played at Texas, I think.
Yeah, he had an interesting piece about the NIL, and he was talking about. And I was wishing that if you could one day have him on your show, you know, because he was saying something that was really, really good, you know. And I was like, wow. You know,
you know what? I will see if we can do that. Gee, many, many thanks for the call. The music is playing. They're about to throw us out of here.
That's right.
They got a birthday party scheduled in this studio as soon as we go off the air. We'll see you tomorrow.